Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. And I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you again this evening. As always, I give my background information for the new people in the listening audience. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show Higher Consciousness. And currently, I teach psychology at colleges, and I have a private counseling practice. I am a Reiki master, an energy medicine practitioner. I am also a certified metaphysician, author, life coach, aromatherapist, and radio host in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, and more specifically, Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I always give the reason for my developing the show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, and I wanted to cover divine prosperity and universal laws. And as with our show tonight, we sometimes have guests who cover these topics and more. Now, Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So, without further delay, tonight's topic is empowering, giving, and loving. Tonight's guests are Ms. Karen Dukes, who is the founder of Dukes Way Academy, and Ms. Kamali Minter, who is a producer, actor, filmmaker, Reiki master, and yogini. For those of you who are interested in joining the conversation at some point, you can dial 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And for those of you who want to use the internet, who may be listening by phone, you can type in http://tobtr.com/s/4671291. Again, that link is http://tobtr.com/s/4671291. Internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 if you want to join the discussion, and only one call at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and my purpose for the show is to connect with you on a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. On that note, I would like to take a few minutes before beginning the show to pay homage to the two individuals whose lives were lost today at the Boston Marathon in Boston, Massachusetts. It has been reported that one of the two is an 8-year-old child. And it's also been stated that approximately 80 people were seriously injured due to the explosion of two bombs near the finish line in Boston, which is in the heart of the exclusive section in Boston, Boylston Street. Now, as a person who lived in Boston for 20 years, I used to watch this event routinely. Everyone in Boston would participate in this event either by viewing it on television or physically going down to watch the runners. It's like an event that brought everyone from all sectors, races, from every walk of life, and it was highly celebrated when I lived there up until 1996. And this event is one which was widely watched internationally as well. So this act of violence is one that was done to create fear and hatred. And this act is very similar to the bombing in Centennial Park in Atlanta during the 1996 Olympics. And it's also similar to the senseless killings of the children in Newtown, Connecticut, and to other senseless acts of violence. And all of these things are being done during this time when we as a nation, I believe, is making some strides towards national compassion and healing on many fronts. And I would encourage each of us to remain compassionate and not to have this senseless, cruel act have us become distracted and full of hate. Because I believe that we are a human race working on forgiveness and compassion and empowering and giving and loving. And these are the themes that we're going to talk about tonight. So please say prayers for the families and the loved ones who died in this senseless tragedy. And I ask, may the Creator, God, Allah, Jehovah, comfort all those affected by this tragedy. And I am dedicating a few moments of silence on behalf of those affected in Boston and on behalf of all of us on planet Earth. Now, I'm asking us to, whatever your belief system is, or if you don't have one, just to think and kind thoughts about those whose lives have been tragically affected, either through having died because of those bombs or whose lives have been affected because they've lost limbs because of the bombs. So a moment of silence. Okay, so again, for those of you who may have just joined us, we just had a moment of silence honoring the people whose lives have been lost or tragically affected by the recent bombings that happened in Boston today during the Boston Marathon. So their spirits will forever be with us on this planet, and we just send our prayers to those families and to everyone who was affected. And those of us who were not present, I send prayers out to all of us too. Because when something tragic happens to one part of the country, the entire planet is affected. And that's something that we as a human race have to really get to understand, because nothing is isolated. We're all connected. And you can't do something to one part of the country and not have that energy felt in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world. So, moving forward, last week we discussed the advanced application of the law of attraction, and we had 9 callers and 4 live listens. However, since last week, we have had 653 downloads, which means 653 people have downloaded the Higher Consciousness Program in 1 week. And I'm so very, very thankful, as always, to each of you. And since October 22nd, 2012, we have had 24,589 listens, which means that people have downloaded. We've had that many downloads. And this is only in 5 months. And also remember, if you can't join us live, go to the website, and you will hear all of the programs which are archived. This program will become immediately available after the show. Last week, we had a phenomenal guest, and his name was Dr. Ed Maloney. And Dr. Maloney has been a therapist, executive consultant, and faculty member for over 40 years. And about 4 years ago, he converted his entire life to helping people as a life and law of attraction coach, and has helped thousands worldwide. He has 2 books out, as I mentioned last week, Focus Change and The Spark Within Us. And both are available from bookstores around the world. But right now, the fastest delivery is from Amazon.com. If you did not have the opportunity to listen to his wonderful, empowering, and enlightening discussion about the law of attraction, please feel free to go to the archived shows that are listed on the website, Higher Consciousness, and Dr. Maloney's presentation or talk will be listed there. Before I introduce tonight's wonderful guest, Ms. Karen Dukes and Ms. Kamali Minter, I would like to talk about the importance of empowering, giving, and loving our youth, our adolescents, our adults, and our seniors. It is so very important that we as humankind think about others and genuinely care about others and express universal love to everyone on this planet. Because when we're able to do that and genuinely see people as an extension of ourselves, then gun violence would not be an issue. Bombings would not be an issue. Molestations would not be an issue. Rapes would not be an issue. Bullying would not be an issue. Harassing on any point, on any level, would not be an issue. Because when you can genuinely see people as an extension of yourself, you would not think to do harm to them, because you know then you inevitably are harming yourself. And I think that we're moving to that awareness. Some of us are there already, and we understand that principle, and we operate from the heart center. And then there are some of us who do not understand that principle. And so what it is so very wonderful this evening is we have 2 wonderful guests who are going to talk about how they incorporate these principles within their chosen professions. So for the last 20 years, people have become so very concerned about their own personal survival or interest that people have forgotten to stop and contribute to others without being paid. You know, paying it forward is something that should be very active in our lives in terms of just a random act of kindness. I've seen those bumper stickers on people's cars. And this is something that should be part of what we just do naturally. And you don't have to do it for a photo opportunity. I know sometimes we become very compassionate during the holiday time, like Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter or whatever. People tend to become more heart-centered during those times. And it's interesting because after those holidays, have passed, then things go back to quote-unquote normal, and we become narcissistic and uncaring. I think that in my observation, I'm seeing more and more people break out of that mindset of being narcissistic. I'm seeing more and more people be compassionate. However, some people are doing it because it's fashionable now to give back. And I don't have a problem with people doing it if that's the motivating factor, but I would love for us to do it because we see everyone as an extension of who we are, regardless of race, regardless of age, regardless of sexual orientation. There's a saying, I am my brother's keeper. So we see a female or a male as an extension of us. And when we do that, as I mentioned before, these senseless acts of violence, like the bombings today, and the things that people talk about on the news, will cease to occur. I had no information about the bombings. A friend of mine who lives in Massachusetts called me, Sherry Tucker Brown, who has been a guest on the show several times, because I don't watch the news, and she didn't know anything about it. And her son had to tell her, because most of my friends and I don't watch the news. We know that the news generally keeps people locked in fear, which is false evidence appearing real. And sensationalism, that's how they make their money. And if people stop watching it or just demand it to have positive things recorded, then the news would do that. But most people are addicted to bad news. So when she called me to tell me about it, I said I would definitely pay tribute to those lives that were lost and to those people who were seriously injured in Boston. And I just want, and it was, this show tonight is so very timely because the show is talking about how we can empower and take humankind to the next level in terms of making us more compassionate, having us think about giving and loving one another, and not the romantic love only, but that as well, but the universal love. And as a child, I can remember that I have always thought like that. I remember at the age of 5 or 6, teaching children in my neighborhood how to read. My little feet could not even touch the floor. They were dangling high in the air on my mom's couch. But I remember bringing little children in, and bless their hearts, holding them captive almost to teach them how to read. And I could see the glow in their eyes, and the gleam in their eyes when they were able to sound the words out phonetically. And I was born a teacher. That's my calling. Even though I do workshops and seminars, I'm always teaching. Even with this radio program, I'm always teaching. So I wanted to do that, not because I was getting paid, not because I was receiving any special recognition from anyone. I did it because I wanted to empower and to help people in my neighborhood, young people in my neighborhood. So by teaching them how to read, little did I know that I was empowering them. I didn't even know what that word meant at the age of 5 or 6. I just knew that it gave me satisfaction being able to give of myself and to help others. So I gave without thinking about being paid because I wasn't paid. None of the adults really were involved in the process. It was child-centered. So I did it because I enjoyed doing it, and I gave it from my heart. It was unconditional love, and I remember going over words with the little ones and teaching them how to read and being very patient with them. And that carried over throughout my life. So I am committed to service. Everything I do reflects empowering and giving and loving. And I am so impressed now that I see young people considering going into service jobs, because at one time it was only about going into corporate America and making money. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, for some people, 10, 15 years ago, human interest or community service was not something that was in their thinking. What was foremost in their minds was, how much money can I make? And I need to do it as quickly as possible by any means necessary, which was really unfortunate because a lot of people got caught up with that and the high stressful jobs on Wall Street and in corporate America. And they found out that those getting caught up in that lifestyle and not caring about others left them very empty and unfulfilled. And so some of them thought that the money would fulfill them and make them happy, and they found out that it didn't. And unfortunately, some of them turned to drugs to fill that void. Because if you don't care about anyone, you would get people who don't care about you. You would attract them. So what ended up happening is you had people who were only concerned about their own interests attracting other people who are only concerned about their interests. And you had people who were not connecting on a heart-to-heart level. So now we've come full circle, because during the 60s and 70s, you had people who were really involved with social issues and social concerns. And during the 80s became very me-oriented, and the 90s. And now you're coming full circle. I see a lot of people involved with nonprofits and wanting to give back and donate their time and volunteering. I see that all the time on the internet. And now it's fashionable. It's very fashionable to give back and to provide community service. And as I said, if that's the motivating factor, if being part of something is fashionable, it's the thing that motivates a person, then so be it. Hopefully, at some point, the individuals who are only motivated by being part of a clique or being in a fashionable group will also at some level become interested or connected to community service projects because they genuinely care about making a difference on a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, universal love level. And I'm seeing, like I said, a resurgence of people being involved in community service projects. And one of the things that people used to do years ago was people used to join the Peace Corps because that would allow them to go to different countries and to give back, to provide assistance to people in different parts of the world. So I've seen some people, I've heard of some people thinking about joining the Peace Corps again, and I said, oh, okay. It just reminded me of what had happened about 15 to 20 years ago. So now we have people now interested in giving back in different ways. I see foundations that are doing that, like Habitat for Humanity, which is a project that former President Jimmy Carter started. And that organization, I know most of you are probably familiar with that organization, builds homes for indigent people and makes home ownership affordable so that people who may have not normally thought about owning a home are now able to own one because of Habitat for Humanity and a lot of other projects. There are legal aid offices that provide assistance to indigent people who need legal advice or assistance. And they pay very little or no monies because they have lawyers that are trained to provide assistance and law students who are providing assistance pro bono. So I think those activities are wonderful. But then on an individual level, we can give back. And I know every time I heard on Sunday, two Sundays ago, what Joel Osteen said, and I said, this is a phenomenal thought, and I had done this even before then. He said that every day he wakes up thinking of the different ways in which he can give on some level. And that's a very, very wonderful thought to have. rather than waking up angry and thinking about how angry you are or mad or upset you are with someone, I think it would be wonderful for us to wake up and give power to our thoughts about how and in what ways can we give to people around us and in our world. And one way is that when we're at the grocery store, if someone has a few items in a cart, what I do is I always allow the person to go in front of me because I'm not pressed for time. I allow people to just step ahead of me and to make their purchase, and they're always so very appreciative. And by my doing that, it's my hope that they would do the same when someone is in line or behind them or has few purchases, that they would then pay it forward. So it becomes contagious. When you give, others then who receive sometimes say, okay, let me give to a stranger. And so I just ask each of you to just think about that. Every day, think of a way in which you can give. Give a smile, give a kind word when you pick up the phone, even if it's a bill collector. One way to really disarm them is to say, hi, how are you? And they're so used to people being irate and upset and belligerent. So when you tell them, hi, how are you, and have a good day, and thank you so much for the service that you're providing and the credit that you've given me, they don't know what to do with that. Because, as I said, most people don't respond like that. So what you can do is just do something different. Think outside of the box. Think of the ways in which you can empower yourself and others, and you can empower yourself by being in charge of any process. When you take control of your life by being more giving and more kind and more loving, there is nothing that can override universal love. No matter what the situation is, you can always step outside of the box and take control of the situation by empowering yourself, by giving love, universal love, and by loving yourself first. So that means that if you're in a relationship that's not a healthy relationship, the way to empower yourself is to give love to yourself and step out of it, and you don't have to be cruel or unkind to the person. All you have to do is just say, I'm going to give to myself and love myself enough not to be in this dysfunctional relationship. So by doing that, you're teaching your children and even the person that you're in the relationship with how to value you and how to honor you, because you honor yourself. If it's your boss, if it's your mate, if it's your children, whomever the people may be or the person may be, that's how you empower yourself. And once you empower you, then you're able to assist others in empowering themselves. So universal love is the most powerful, powerful tool that is here on the planet. So if you want to take control of a situation and empower yourself, give yourself love first, and then project that love out to the planet. And when you do that, it then will give you the strength to walk away, if it's time for you to walk away, to have your voice heard, if it's time for you to have your voice heard, or to be silent, if it's meant for you to be silent. And then by doing that, you would just, the more you practice this, empowering yourself first, giving to yourself first, loving yourself first, then it will come second nature, and you can do it very freely and very easily with anyone else. And it will not be an issue because you know how to do it. So this evening, we're going to talk to two ladies. So the first person who's joining us is Ms. Karen Dukes at 7:30. And at 8 o'clock, Ms. Kamali Mentor will join us. So After this commercial break, I will bring on Ms. Karen Dukes. And for those of you who are interested in joining the conversation, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So we look forward to talking with you this evening. And we will join you again after this brief commercial break.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome back. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and this is Higher Consciousness. And this evening we have Ms. Karen Dukes, who is the owner of Dukes Way Academy, joining us. And at 8 o'clock or 8:10, we have Ms. Kamali Mentor, who is an actor, producer, filmmaker, and Reiki master, joining us from California. Okay, so our first guest, information about her. Our first guest tonight is Ms. Karen Dukes, an educator for 32 years. Karen Dukes is the owner of Dukes Way Academy, a 28-year-old academic and community service program for children of all ages that began in Illinois and is now located in Georgia. Ms. Dukes focuses on providing services while still having great fun working with students. She has taught in Detroit Public Schools, Illinois Christian and Private Schools, and Illinois Youth Detention Center, Illinois Public Schools, and now Georgia Private and Public Schools. However, about 28 years ago, Karen's biggest dream and accomplishment was when she established her own private program, Dukes Way Academy. She felt the need to continue working with students after school hours and summers through mentoring high school dropouts and tutoring students of all ages. Busy as Karen is, she feels that she may not be doing enough to make a difference with the students and their families. Karen is still planning for changes and improvements in her career. Karen is working to help families become stronger and developing projects to strengthen families. With Dukes Way Academy Incorporated, Community and Educational Services, Karen is making a difference by creating charity services and being a consultant to foster care programs and daycare centers. And at this moment, I'm going to bring on Ms. Dukes. Greetings. Hello, how are you?
Hi, all right, and you?
I'm doing well, Karen, so thank you for joining us.
Ma'am, what an honor.
Yeah, your background is very, very, very impressive, and as I was mentioning to a listening audience, you've done a lot of phenomenal things. So your background was so, so impressive and so extensive, I wasn't able to put it all on the website because I only have so many characters I can put on the website. But give people some background information about who you are and about Dukes Way.
Well, ma'am, I thought you did a great job introducing me. I really appreciate that. I just really don't know what else to add to what you said, but just elaborate a little bit. Yes, well, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, where I started my professional educational career. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. as you I went on to Illinois, and there in Illinois, I did teach in various situations and settings. But upon arriving in Aurora, Illinois, I think it's when I received the vision, the calling to do a little bit extra with the students outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how this all snowballed and came about. And it has been about, what, maybe about 30 years. But what happened, I was working with children and really didn't realize the children were dropout students and they just came from various at-risk backgrounds, let's say that. And
mm-hmm.
so as I was working and having such great joy in servicing them, there are a couple of things, Dr. Franklin. I noticed that all the years I had spent in the classroom, there was something different about the children outside of the classroom or in the parking lot or in the street or on the corner where they were. And
mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt. I felt I was reaching them where they were. And so that's where we met. That's where we tutored. And that's where I serviced them. That was in the street, in the parking lot, exactly where they wanted to hang out. And,
wow.
Yes, ma'am. And at the time, I didn't really think too much about it. But as I started sharing with my husband that I for some reason, because people said, girl, how you have time to think about this after the classroom? You just go home and be through with it. But I said, you know what? I wasn't through. And I know some people said, you know, leave it in the parking lot. You know, just let it roll.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that. And so, again, with the name of Duke Play, my married last name is Dukes. And so it started off really sort of as a joke that I was going to teach my way. And so that's how I put the Duke way together as one word.
Mm-hmm.
So it did up as a joke. But the story went on and where I was working with some children, didn't even realize they were drug dealers. They were, they were
wow.
everything. They were everything.
Wow.
They were the gang, leaders of the gang. But guess what, doctor? I didn't notice, and they didn't make a difference, and I didn't make a difference. And I just sort of went on working with them, trying to help them understand they needed to get back into school. They needed to get their driver's license. And so I took it. My tutoring service extended from what did they need to deal with at that time. So what did they need to deal with? Why were they driving without driver's license? Why were they just hanging out during school hours instead of being in the school? They were just outside the school. So I work with the children that way.
Mm.
And so it just went on and on and on. And I just really, I look back over my life and I said, what in the world? Because at the time, the city, we were in Aurora, Illinois, and at the time, the city, I guess they didn't know how to handle me or didn't know. And so do you know every time I took it to the mayor or took it to the congressman and just asked them for help or just asked for services, I got basically everything
wow.
I asked. And so it was just
that was
trip.
So impressive.
Well, honey, I look back, as I said, I look back over my life, and I'm like, what in the world happened? How did I do that? Where did that come from? Free tickets to games, circuits. They would send the charter buses to the complex to pick the kids up and take them to the game. And I mean, I just would just sit around or go to the city hall and say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And so that's what happened. But needless to say, I did that, but I worked in a youth detention home, and I was working in the public education in a Christian school, but I just found time when I came home to just do a little bit more.
Well, I mean, it is so apparent from your voice and when we first talked that you're very passionate about what you do, and that's the reason why things happen, because the Creator, God, Allah, Jehovah, whatever name people want to give the being that I call God, makes a
yes.
way for that, because
yes.
you're passionate about it. And like we talked about last week in terms of the law of attraction, what happens is whatever you think about and focus on, you will get that. And because you're so compassionate and passionate about helping those who are underserved and meeting people where they are, then the
yes.
universe says, we will meet her where she is, and we will just provide the resources. This
yes,
is very wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. And it was just a joy. I counted all the blessings, but I think the thing that helps me is I don't really think of it as work. And so I think when
mm-hmm.
people question about, girl, go sit down. Girl, why are you working? I just know And not to boast or brag, it's not that. I just feel that it's a true calling.
Mm-hmm.
As a little girl, 2, 3, 4 years old, I was walking around the house saying I wanted to be a teacher, and that's all my brothers and my parents talked about, and it happened. And as I said, I think the joy is I don't really feel that it's work when I'm
mm-hmm.
working with them and when I'm trying to help them. And it's just wonderful, and I just feel that I thank the Lord, actually, for giving me the family that I have that allowed me to work with the children and work with other kids and have the patience to work outside of my own little family of children and being a sibling and being a mom, being a god, sister, godmother. And so I think that that's really what it really is, all in a nutshell, just my patience that you've given me and just a true calling. That's what I really feel about it.
Well, where did this come from? I know you said you have always thought about this, but were there teachers in your family?
Well, good. Thanks for asking that. Basically, to my knowledge, let me just tell you this. It's my mother. I have a lot of my mother in me. And
mm-hmm.
before that, we're the first two educators. My mother did a lot of everything, special education teacher, social worker, et cetera. But her biggest accomplishment is being a missionary, and then she moved on to an international missionary.
Mm.
And little girl, I look back and I say, woo, I was so scared of working with mentally challenged children and senior citizens, but that didn't matter to my mother. On Sundays, the church, we went to the nursing homes. We had to go play games, and we had to feed, and we had to eat. You just wouldn't believe how scared I was. And then, and then I look back and I say, Ma, now I know because my mother surrounded herself with just so many different people. I have to say this because it's just important to me that. My mother, when I was around between the ages of 12 and 14 years old, my mother, she was a gospel singer and you know, from church, and she sang with some of the best, and she helped. And so I was like the babysitter. So she would drag me around, and I was so scared of the children and dealing with the senior citizens, but I wanted to be this teacher. But I was dealing with mentally challenged children. And
mm-hmm.
I look back now, and I asked my mother years ago, I said, Ma, how did you have 4 or 5 friends with mentally challenged children? I mean, think about that. You may
mm-hmm.
know one, but my mother had 4 or 5 friends, including one sister-in-law, that had mentally challenged children. Then my mother had the nerve to have a foster home, and we had a mentally challenged child there. She adopted, got herself together, and her foster home was for a child that was, mother couldn't handle things, and so she was, you know, gave him up, and so my mother
mm-hmm.
found the little child and brought him in our home. But what I'm saying, how did that happen for her to have, I mean, we're talking, I'm not talking about just people she knew. These were very close people to my
mm-hmm.
mother. I was a little babysitter, and at the age of 12, although I always felt I wanted to be a teacher and I knew that was in me, at 12 years old, I had the experience of working with really the mentally challenged. And so my heart just went out. I just grew out of it. And you couldn't have paid me to even wanted to go to school to do anything else. You couldn't have paid me not to be home. You know, and then I also grew up as a Girl Scout. Well, you know that. My mother's a leader. I was a Girl Scout. So then, again, we went and you know, we dealt with a lot of things in the community and the nursing home. So it just all became a part of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. I can hear your passion. And what is so really, really impressive about this, Karen, that you've been in the business of education for 32 years, and you sound as though mm-hmm. you just came out of college and entered the profession, because a lot of people, myself included, I was in public education for about four or five years, 2 years in Boston, and then I tried to do, and I never use the word tried, but I would use it in this instance. I tried subbing here in Georgia, and I said, no,
ma'am.
No, I was not interested. It was a different kind of dynamic going on compared to when I first got into education. I said, as I'm teaching these children's parents at the college level, because I've always been teaching at the college level for the most part, part-time. And I said, when I finish subbing, I'm going to teach their parents at night. I said, I can't deal with this. So my passion for young people in terms of public education waned the longer I was in it, and so now I'm very content with my businesses and teaching at the college level. So I take my hat off to all the people whom I know who in public education, particularly in the during these very interesting times, because there's a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny directed towards teachers, and it's kind of like, it's interesting because it seems as though in some instances it's a no-win situation. Teachers have to be social workers. They have to be ministers. They have there's very little room for teaching. They have to be bureaucrats because you have to fill out all this paperwork. And it just, and in Georgia, with the current administration and the one before, it's a setup for people not doing well, and it's basically set up for people to be controlled. If you don't do it as the current administration dictates, then you're out of there. And they give you very little support, because I tell people, you can do all you want as a teacher, but if that child is not committed and if that parent isn't committed, it's a no-win situation, no matter how much you teach. And then to tie in your salary to the progress of a student, to me, it's just really, really, it's very stressful and it's unfair. Because you can be the best teacher on the planet. But if you don't have those two on board, if you have a parent undermining you, and if the student isn't on board, there's nothing you can do to override that. It's just nothing you can do. And it should be, I said, if he, the current governor and anyone else, if they were really serious about this, you would just have a three-way contract. Have the student, the child, and the teacher sign and hold them all three accountable, as opposed to putting the complete onus on the teacher. So I know that you have a wonderful program in which here in Georgia where you honor teachers. So let's talk about how you transitioned from Detroit to Illinois to Georgia, and let's talk about your program with the remaining 15 minutes that we have.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And guess what? That's all God. It was all job transfer. So, yes, I've been here in Georgia for now about 20 years. And I continued teaching in, again, various situations, Christian schools, daycares. But what happened, I was at a Christian school for less than a year, and they did some downsizing. And I guess a few of my they wind up saying that they were only going to be able to hire me, let's say, for one semester. So by the time I got myself together and said, I'm just going on home, and I had a one-year-old, and I'm like, I'm just taking care of my baby anyway, and an eight-year-old. And each time I transferred from Detroit to Illinois, from Illinois to here, I found myself working in educational settings where my children could go, where my child can go. My son was born in Detroit. My daughter was born in Illinois. Then here we go. We move here. And so doing that here. And do you know that I did that one semester at a Christian school, and before I could leave there good, one parent approached me and said, hey, if you're going to go home, what are you going to do? Well, can you just teach my two children? And we talked about homeschooling, and I was like, because I never had done that. And so I was trying to get all the information. How do I do that? But I did have a degree, and so I got all that information. Well, how about the mom and I put together a homeschool network in my home? And my husband was with AT&T at the time, so here we were. We went to business cards and flyers to make a big deal. Do you know that lady, that other mother, that mom? She went to her church, her place of business, before I can advertise like I wanted to, and she gathered families and kids for me.
Wow.
Brought them to the house, and at the time, being that I already had a little Duke's Way in me, because I had come from Illinois and I already had that in me, we just rolled it into Duke's Academy Homeschool Network. And it winds up being an after-school program. It winds up being a summer. This was all in my 3-4-bedroom house. I converted my entire downstairs, my family room, to the classroom. I converted the downstairs bedroom to my library.
Wow.
And so The dining room was you know how you have the candy lady, the lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I was that lady, and we tutored in that room. And my kids, my son at the time, he was going like fourth, fifth, sixth grade. He would come from school, so he was my computer specialist, and he helped us with the computers, and he played his instrument, and we just made a big homeschool program network out of that. Okay, so that's
wow.
What happened. About, that was like up to 15 years, and I can't even say that happened in my home. Eight, 9 years. I was so outdone. I was so outdone that I said, you know, honey, this we're outgrowing the house, because remember now, this is the house I was living in.
Mm-hmm.
I saved enough money to move. I found an abandoned house, and we moved the program with the help of the parents. They cleaned the house up, all the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scout community people. We found another house, and we moved into the house for the continuation of the program.
And this was in Georgia?
Yes, ma'am, right in DeKalb County, Georgia. The parents helped me. We moved over from house to house and kept it going. And then about 15 years ago, I guess I decided that maybe about 14, 15 years ago, I decided that I wanted to go back to school to pursue higher education for myself, because I had only a bachelor's at the time. So I did. We cried. We had a major powwow, and then I went on and pursued my master's, my specialist, and now I'm working on my doctoral in exceptional children.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And so while you were doing your own academy, were you also teaching outside, in public schools?
No, ma'am. I just did that. Did not know it was going to go on for so many years. I forgot I had an opportunity to go into the public school, because I just worked at my house all day with the kids coming in, tutoring, and as I said, the homeschool network. It just became my full-time job.
Okay.
Did that up until the last few years, and so now I am in the school system. But guess what? About 4 or 5 years ago, I had another calling that Duke's Way, and I kept running into children that were in my program, and they left me, and they were coming back, and meeting them in the mall and church, and so I decided to come back, and now Duke's Way Academy is alive as a community service, as an educational service.
Mm-hmm.
And
So it's not a homeschool program any longer.
It's not a homeschool program now. We're just tutoring, and we provide mentoring for groups.
Oh, okay. So it's an after school program now.
Beg your pardon?
So Duke's Way now is primarily an after school program.
Well, now it's kind of private. People will call us if they need help for tutoring, mentoring. I'm serving as a consultant for families, for daycares, basically free of charge, because I just wanted to do that. And so then what happened out of that, and I'm still doing that, is just a network. It's just a network. And so my husband works as my serious partner, and he was tutoring for many, many years. The last 5 years, he was tutoring in the program. And now we just help the families, match them up with their tutors.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they need someone, chemistry, we match. Either we're doing the tutoring or we know someone, because we have a group of educators in our network. So we just match them up, whether we're sending them to a community church or we match them up where fit. Now, that's part one of Duke's Way. The other part of Duke's Way, 2 years ago, I came out with a vision to start empowering the educators.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you really wanted to hear about, I know.
I wanted to hear about the whole program. You're doing a phenomenal job. So
yes. So
tell us about that in terms of the educators.
Yes, ma'am. A few years ago, I started talking about, we need conferences, we need seminars, we need to do something to help lift morale. School system, yes, we have the professional learning. We're doing all those classes to help with staff development. But I said, who's helping us with our morale? And the reason why it was heavy on my heart was because any given day, 2-3 teachers will come to me either in the hallway crying or in my classroom, just breaking down. And I just felt so bad about it. And just so happened, I am our professional learning liaison in my building. But that's with our professional learning classes. But again, I say, who's helping us with our morale? So last year, I asked a group of teachers to come over and a few business people, and I said, let's get together and try to plan something to help lift morale. What can we do? So as we brainstormed, we came out with a seminar, an empowerment seminar, and we're just calling it an educator's empowerment seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Duke's Way Academy, and just so happened last year, we said, and we're doing it again this year, sticking to it, we changed the three R's, as you know of. We say our three R's are reclaim, reinvent, and rejuvenate today's educators.
Wow. That's
so
powerful.
And so for this year, I won't tell you about last year because it's about basically the same. This year we have two great motivational speakers that's going to come to us for about 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the afternoon, the 10:30 hour, which will be next Saturday, April 27th, 2013, from 9 to 5 p.m. Our first speaker at 10:30 would be Dr. Lonnie Edwards, and at 1:30 we will have Dr. Harry Ross. So what we're doing, those young men will come to us and help us understand why we need to reclaim and reinvent ourselves in education. The third R, rejuvenation, will be my vendors. We have about 40 vendors this year that's coming in with some wonderful services and goods that will help people either see a different light in education, you know, another job opportunity. Some educators use their hobbies to kind of spin off and make a business. So we've incorporated all of that.
Wow. Well, give people some information who are within the Atlanta area. How can they participate? Is there a fee? It's not restricted to educators. It's for anyone who wants to come to be rejuvenated and uplifted and empowered. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because this is what we say. Educators, empowerment seminar, but it includes everyone. Educators are from the parents to the community. We all are educators. And I really want to help the community to understand, don't think you're not in this, because we keep talking about it takes a village, and so it does. So, I mean, we're talking from the bus drivers to the traffic guard. But our theme is reclaim, reinvent, rejuvenate today's educators. And guess what? It is a free event, and it's for the entire community, April 27th. That's next Saturday from 9 to 5 at the Hilton Garden Inn Hotel, and that's at 7890 Maureen Road. And that's in Lithonia, Georgia, 30038. Okay?
Is that a Stonecrest Mall?
Yes. Well, it's outside the mall. We say Stonecrest Mall, but they have about four hotels. We're one of the hotels outside of the Stonecrest Mall, okay?
Right. So it's right off 20. For those listeners who are listening who want to come, time you come off 20, you see all four hotels, the Hilton, the Hyatt, and the Fairfield Inn. So it's right there by Stonecrest Mall. You can't miss it.
Ma'am. Let me tell you, my website for more information, www.dukeswayacademy.com.
Okay. And Dukes is spelled DukesWayacademy.com. Okay. And if people want to get more information from you personally or to talk with you about your services, is there a number?
Yes, ma'am. Everyone out there listening, call me. You may call me at 678-404-9034. And again, let me do the website. www.dukeswayacademy is spelled DukesWay. Remember, it's my way. Academy. academy.com.
Okay. And your telephone number again, Karen?
My number, 678-404-9034.
Okay. And if anyone would like to talk to Mrs. Dukes before she leaves, she will still be on the line because I'm going to have the lines open for both speakers for those who would like to ask questions after.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Minter makes her presentation. The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023. 8023 and press 1. And the person that I'm talking with now is the phenomenal Mrs. Karen Dukes, the founder of Dukes Way Academy, which is a community service and academic enrichment program for children of all ages. And also, Karen has enlisted the services of senior citizens to help her with her program as well. So this program that she's developed is a 28-year-old program by an educator who's been in the field of education for 32 years. And as you can tell from the passion in her voice, that she's just as committed today as she was 32 years ago. And I just applaud her and commend her, because it takes a lot today to remain in the field of education, because it seems as though teachers now have minimal support. Everyone now is looking at teachers and blaming them. And so I just commend her. I commend her. And if anyone would like to talk with Mrs. Dukes, please call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number to connect with Mrs. Dukes is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Mrs. Dukes will remain on the line for the duration of the program, even though I'm plugging in my next speaker after our commercial break. So if you want to ask her questions after the next presenter, then feel free to do so. I see that I have a number of callers on my board. I can see them. And so even though people may not press 1 to talk, we have active listeners, because, as I've said in the past, sometimes people tell me, oh, I didn't want to call in to ask any questions. I was just so involved in listening and so impressed with the presentations and with the information that was being conveyed, I didn't want to interrupt the flow. So I just wanted to let the guests know that there are people that are on the board and they're listening. So, and I thank them. So, Ms. Dukes, please remain on the line, Karen, as I'm going to bring in the next speaker after this commercial break, and then I'll have other people be able to ask both of you questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Towards
thank you.
The 8:30 segment part of the show. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right, so we will return after this brief commercial break.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace Be Still, a natural, holistic aromatherapy blend, is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Good evening, everyone. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I'm bringing you to the second part of our show at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Our next guest is Ms. Kamali Minter. And Kamali Minter is a filmmaker, writer, and healer based in Los Angeles, California. She graduated from New York University's Tisch School of the Arts and has worked in the film industry as an editor, director, producer, and actor for the past 15 years. Ms. Minter has also worked with the following networks and studios: NBC, BET, MTV, TLC, Bravo, Planet Green, The Food Network, and DreamWorks. Kamali is also a yogini and Reiki master with a passion for healing through art, movement, and breath. In 2013, Kamali is embarking on a new mission to use media as a tool for healing and transforming relationships. Approaching filmmaking as healing with light and sound, she is launching a YouTube channel called Space for Love, and it's SPACE, the number 4, and then love, LOVE. Space for Love TV, that will feature videos that help people clear emotional clutter and create space for love. And I know Kamali through her wonderful parents, her mother and her father, Revela Fontaine, who is a very good friend of mine, is her mom, and Kendall Minter, who is a classmate of mine at Cornell, is her dad. So I know both of them. She's a phenomenal person. So if you would like to join us, the telephone number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the telephone number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Greetings, Kamali. How are you?
Hi, Professor Franklin.
And everyone, I just want to let you know that Kamali is joining us from California, so she's 3 hours behind us. So I'm so delighted to have you join us.
Thank you. Thank you.
This evening.
I'm happy to be with you,
David. Yeah, I'm so impressed with your work as a filmmaker and as a producer. And Kamali also does voiceovers, too, for those in the listening audience. So she's multi-talented and just a really, really gifted young woman. Kamali, I find it so interesting, and I've seen some of your work, too. And I know your heart and your passion, just like Ms. Dukes, Karen Dukes, before, who spoke, who's very, very passionate about what she does. And you can hear the enthusiasm in her voice, and, you know, you can tell that she's very committed to what she does. And she would do it even if she were not getting paid, because initially she wasn't. And I know that you've been doing some projects and have not gotten paid, and because you're so committed to it. But let's talk about how you got to the place of what inspired you. Well, I know your father is an entertainment lawyer, and your mom is a wonderful vegetarian chef. But what inspired you to go into film and doing what you're doing now, and also bringing a very holistic approach to entertainment into Hollywood? Because, you know, Hollywood can be very interesting. So how did you come up with this concept? What inspired you first to go into entertainment, and then what inspired you to bring spirituality to Hollywood?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, both my parents are closet artists, I think. So even though they might not have gone into it professionally, I think they seeded. I have two other sisters, and we're all very creative. But from the time I was really little, I was really into storytelling. It all started with storytelling, and for me, it's still about story. Because, you know, I think the way that we see or experience our reality is based on the stories we tell ourselves. So we really understand, we understand why we're here, or we try to understand why we're here through story. The first time I got my hands on a camera, I was in love, like, with being behind it and in front of it. I just love making images and telling stories. And then when I found out that you could actually do that for a living, I was sold. I was like, well, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
So I didn't even, you know, I applied early admissions to NYU. I didn't want to go to any other school. And when I got in, it was like, you know, I knew I was in the right space and place for my purpose here. And the healing work, it really started with my mom. She was my first teacher in that arena. We grew up in a very alternative household. So from a young age, I was taught about meditation and alternative medicine and energy, which was a great foundation. And as I was going through college and I started to go through my own spiritual journey and processes and learning, transformational work became very, very important to me. And it's made a huge difference in my life, everything from practicing yoga to I'm a Vedic meditator. Practice Course in Miracles. I read a lot, do a lot of workshops, and in the last 5 years or so, I became really passionate, especially about relationships and masculine, feminine dynamics, and just the way that we interact with each other, with the planet, and with ourselves. and started to really go down a rabbit hole about brain science and, you know, the subconscious brain psychology and began to make connections about the tools and the things that shape us and then the tools that can help us get around some of the patterning of the way that we're shaped. So when I really started to make the connection that so much of the way we express ourselves in relationships or express ourselves in the world has to do with subconscious patterns that are locked into our brains
from a
very young age.
That's very true.
And then I realized that you could make shifts in those areas through some of the tools I learned in energy work. So some of the most potent tools happen to be light and sound. I'm very into sound healing and working with light and other energy modalities. And I think about a year or two ago, sorry, about 2 years ago, it just kind of hit me as an epiphany because I was actually thinking about changing professions and actually going into healing full-time because I became so passionate about it. But I still really loved the filmmaking, and it hit me that film is light and sound. You know, you're sitting in this black room. When you go to the movies, you're in a black box, and you have these images coming through your cortexes, and your brain is making meaning of it all. And then you're hearing, you know, you're being affected by the vibration of everything you're hearing and seeing. So it dawned on me what a powerful tool media could actually be for healing. And that started my investigation about how to start to use that and what to create to give that, you know, share and give that gift back to the world. So
that is so powerful. That is so powerful because I think I've seen some movies now where people are investigating metaphysics and a lot of those films are kind of like indie films, independent films, but at least they're coming out, people are coming out with these themes and they're having people beg the question of why am I here, what purpose do I serve, and it's not all of the stuff that you see on reality television which makes you mindless and, you know, which is really not to expand your consciousness. It's really to dumb you down intentionally so you don't ask these questions so that they can keep you thinking within the matrix. So I think what you're doing is just really, really phenomenal. And so how did you get to the point to where you wanted to use this medium of film and filmmaking to transform relationships? How do you envision that happening?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right in terms of the upsurge in the independent films that are doing that. There's actually a whole little baby arena that's blossoming now, you know, with the spiritual cinema circle and films like What the Bleep and various other, you know, films that have come out in this docu-narrative style to start to ask the big questions about consciousness and who and what we are and what are the universal truths that we are all subscribed to. And one of the best equalizers that has come along in the film industry in a long time is actually the internet and digital filmmaking. And so with the advent of, you know, digital filmmaking and the internet, it's become so much easier to produce low-budget content, independent content, and to distribute it yourself, to actually create community and audiences, find your audience without having to go through the old models of finding a distributor and all of that. And so what I love about the internet is that it's an interactive community. It almost mimics what we do here in life, which is we just want to connect with each other and have conversations and interactions. And so you get to immediately, as a creator, bridge the gap with your viewer who's going to be having the experience and then have an exchange about that experience. So as I started to actually dabble in the web world, I created two web series. One was a sci-fi series, actually, about the coming of 2012. And and the earth changes, I started to learn more about online content and how to really the whole community that was forming around it, and using it as a way to reach people with messages, and with alternative programming. Because, like you said, I'm not a big advocate of watching the news either.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I work in reality very often, I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find myself, you know, watching quite a bit of stuff online. And so that spawned the idea to create a YouTube channel, actually, where I could start to grow a community around this idea of space for love, which for me has become my whole mission in this world. It's just personally, it's my personal mantra to create an environment and a space where people can experience love when they're with me, but also to create physical spaces where people can enter the space, you know, whether it's a virtual space or a physical space,
mm-hmm.
and experience acceptance and transformation that love brings. So,
wow, that is really, really, that's awesome. So, when you say a space for love,
mm-hmm.
How do you envision this series? Are you having people talk about romantic love, universal love?
Mm-hmm.
How are you envisioning it happening?
Well, for me, it's a combination. I'm actually in the middle of developing the content now, and I want it to be interactive in the sense that people will get practical advice or practical messages, but also interactive stuff. I like bringing physical work into the topics that I'm going to be discussing, like breath and movement, so actual exercise and things that can start to rewire brain waves and stuff like that. But the content-wise, what I'm really looking at is redefining love. A lot of our cultural definition of love is based on romantic love.
Right, right.
And I really want to strip love's image of being soft and mushy and talk about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the real force of it, of it's a state of being, and it's a state of being open and being accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you experience joy, you experience peace, you experience compassion, you experience all these things, but the challenge in love, and I think love is a very tough emotion because it's incredibly challenging to embody,
mm-hmm.
because it's the ability to be with whatever is showing up in that moment,
mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not. So the content is really to help people with that specific challenge. So whether it's, you know, in your own personal life, if it's a personal challenge with work or with weight or with money, or it's a relationship challenge, romantic or family, it's about the practice of how do we show up and identify, you know, our blocks and our patterning and clear that so that we have the ability to be with what's unfolding in that moment.
Wow. And that's basically universal love. How do we get to the place to where we can remain constant in that emotion of love without judging and not falling apart, even if we don't get it reciprocated? And that's the highest version. That's
exactly.
Like, that is universal, high vibrational love. And that's really, really, it's really, really wonderful to be in that space. And it's very challenging to get to that space and to maintain.
I think it is. I think it's one of the most challenging practices. And I'm a kamikaze, so I think I took it on kind of masochistically as a life mission. But
mm-hmm.
but I really have a vision and a passion for living in a world where more people can be that for each other. So,
mm-hmm.
My contribution is to help share the tools that have come my way that allow me to embody that more, and to share them in a way that hopefully is entertaining and creative and will help people get it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that they will, because what I see happening now is that there are more people who are open to having a discussion about universal love, and more people who are asking these metaphysical questions about how can they stay connected to people even if the relationship, the human relationship, is no longer in place. How do you maintain that compassionate universal love, and what is that? Because most of the times we're trained to deal with the mushy, as you said, romantic love, and it's very conditional, whereas this universal love is not conditional at all. It's not contingent upon whether or not someone is reciprocating, you know, our affections. It's like you remain constant no matter what, and that's the highest vibration. You know, this guy, David Hawkins, wrote a book, Power Versus Force, and he said that most people are vibrating on this planet at between 100 to 200, and you don't even become powerful until you start vibrating at 500, which is the vibration of love. And then I think gratitude is at 650 or something like that. So, so most people are way below 500. Yes. And that's why we see the chaos that we heard about today in terms of the Boston Marathon and in terms of the Newtown killings and in terms of the racial violence and in terms of the violence against women and against the elderly, because we're not vibrating as a planet at that frequency. So I think what you're talking about is so important and so very, very powerful, because if we tend to elevate ourselves and vibrate at that frequency, then a lot of the things that we see as being issues will just fall away.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly believe that. And I think it's really challenging to do that when we're constantly surrounded with things that are reinforcing vibrating at a lower frequency, which is where the importance is of having more choices of media, of just things that we can input into ourselves that will help us lift up in that way, is so important.
I think what you're saying is very true. This guy was on Oprah last night. I think his name is Michael Burdett. He's the one who's behind The Voice and this mega series, The Bible. I think that's his name. And he said,
Mark Burnett, maybe?
Oh, Mark, Michael Mark. Burnett or Burdett?
Burnett, I think,
Burnett, okay. You see how much I follow this stuff. But anyway, what he said was very interesting. He said that, you know, he doesn't believe that you have to have reality shows that are mean. And he said he came up with the concept with The Voice because he didn't believe that people had to belittle people in order for them to be contestants. And so American Idol now is falling behind, is trailing his show because he has a different concept. Because people, all these shows, the Housewives shows on Bravo, and I'm so disappointed because Bravo used to be my preferred network because they had quality programming. Now they've just sunk to, an all-time low. Because all the shows deal with craziness and dysfunctional behavior. And it's going to run its course because people are getting tired of that. They're getting tired of women beating up on each other, spitting on each other. Women from Beverly Hills. I'm like, you're supposed to have things that people can emulate, you know, behaviors. And so what's the difference between women in Beverly Hills and women who are living in impoverished areas? There's no difference because both of them are spitting on each other, kicking each other, and calling each other the B word. And this is completely dysfunctional. So, and a lot of people now are becoming bored with that and tired of that. So what's going to happen is that, like with everything else, it's going to run its course. But at the same time, what I'm very impressed with is your work, because you're not waiting until it runs its course. Now, concurrently with those shows that are low vibrational shows, and I am judging everyone, yes, I try not to judge, but I am, that are low vibrational shows, you're offering a counterpoint, which is so phenomenal and so refreshing. Kamali, I commend you. Thank you so much for providing the alternative.
And for me, it's a balance too, because I work in reality as well a lot as an editor, and I've seen the downward spiral of going towards the sensationalism and the conflict, and I think there's an appeal there because we're all dealing with some kind of dysfunction or conflict in our own lives, but the way that myth and stories always work is you see those challenges, but then you have to see the resolution. You have to see the person transform into something more evolved in order for the story to be complete. And so we've been missing that second part of the story in reality programming recently, where it's just the conflict and the drama. So for me, it's also a counterbalance for the industry that, you know, that I do work in. And I think media in and of itself is not inherently evil. It's just the it's what the way it's used and what's being created. So
What do you see as the future in terms of, if you had a crystal ball, let's say, what do you see the future in terms of Hollywood? Because I know non-traditional, like the indie films, you know, they have a completely different kind of energy. But in terms of Hollywood being so sensational and whatever, do you think, and it's still racist too, but do you think, because there are now people coming forth producing movies who are African-American, who are females, who are people of different races, do you think that Hollywood is going to listen to what people are asking for?
I do. I mean, I think that, you know, there are conversations going on now that it's not just about numbers, because when you have something sensational that happens, numbers will spike. But then it's like, what happens after that? You know, is it sustained? What are the conversations? What is the image of the network or the studio? And so there are conversations being had about the bigger picture of what is being created as a brand, you know, for a network or for a studio in terms of what they're putting out. And I think what we're experiencing in entertainment is the same thing we're experiencing in the rest of the world, which is, you know, increased polarity. So you have you have a lot of people that are really moving quickly towards awakening and awakened content, and you have a handful of people holding on for, you know, to the garbage and trying to stay asleep. And so I think you'll continue to see that kind of polarity taking place, but I think what you will see is more and more availability of quality content, more diversity, and more interesting messages. Because the one thing that entertainment does have to do to stay alive is it has to keep reflecting our reality here on the planet for people to stay interested in what's being made. Mm-hmm. So as we change, programming has to change. And I think the biggest place that it's moving towards is interactivity. People want to connect with each other. They want to have conversations with each other about what they're watching. And so if anything, what we're going to be seeing more and more of is more ways to connect through content. And that's going to look like a lot of different things. But I think that's the theme that's going to start to emerge more.
So do you think that people are turning more to the internet and less towards mainstream radio and television?
Yeah, I think definitely internet. You're going to see a lot more beginning to happen on internet. It's already been bubbling up the last couple of years with Netflix is now providing original programming and Hulu, and, you know, all these exclusively sort of online places are beginning to provide original content. And those places are great because you're not dealing with the FCC, so And you're not dealing with all kinds of other restrictions that apply to network. So there's a little bit more freedom for creators in those spaces to come up with different types of programming. And I think there's also going to be a trend towards gaming consoles being used more and, you know, actually bringing programming into 3D interactive space. So you might one day be finding yourself watching holograms in your living room in the not-too-distant future, you know, which to me opens up a whole other universe of experience and possibilities. So
I saw something on, and I this is one of my little treats to myself. I, you know, even though she can be a little caustic at times, I really enjoy Joan Rivers. So she has a show with her daughter, Joan and Melissa. And on one of the shows, they had her agent tell her, because she was so overcommitted to different projects, And he has some more projects for her to do. He said, but you can't physically do all of these things. He said, but they have this new technology now that's a hologram. And so we can have you have a hologram made of you, and people would think it's you performing live or whatever. And they did a show around that. It was interesting because it looks like her.
Yeah.
It was a hologram, and it was, you know, has she, I'm not sure if they ever did it real, they were just showing her how it could be done. So I'm not sure if they ever really did it. But it was interesting to see a hologram of her, and it looked very, very real, you know.
Yeah, well, the technology is there now, actually. That's what happened at Coachella last year when they did the Tupac hologram, you know, and it looked like he was performing there on stage. And there's a lot of people kind of working in that arena, developing things around that technology now. So, yeah, it's a very interesting time.
So how would this technology be very effective in terms of having people talk about love and how to transform their lives and heal their lives? How can this be done in terms of having be more interactive?
I'm incredibly excited about the interactive piece because my vision for entertainment and where it's most powerful is actually in the live space. So, you know, my dream actually of where I'm headed is to be able to take this type of content and bring it into almost like you would an art installation or an art exhibition where you're actually in a live space and able to engage with parts and pieces of the content in a physical way. So to me, that's where you actually get that impact of the light healing with the sound. And so if you can imagine, like, being able to be in a box, you know, and you're here and you've got music, you've got healing frequencies playing, and you've got 3D light holographic images happening, there's all kinds of possibilities for healing that can be happening, not just on the conscious level, but on the subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the space that I'm really excited to play in, and the technology is still coming about to really make all of that happen, but I see a lot of great possibilities in that arena.
And so with this interactive medium, when people are talking about high vibrational love and all these things, do you see people having, because love on any level, people tend to not want to discuss it because they feel like it's touchy-feely. Even if you're talking about universal love, the higher vibrational concept of love, people just don't want to talk about it because it's an abstract, emotional topic.
Yeah.
And people, particularly men, shy away from that. So how do you envision engaging men to have this higher level discussion?
And the way I think about it is actually, and this is why I love the idea of using interactive technologies, I think about it like video games, because men love to play video games. A lot of people love to play video games. And imagine you could actually play, you could step inside of a virtual video game that would rewire your brain while you were having fun to actually break down patterns that were keeping you from feeling expanded and feeling love. So that you didn't even have to process like you were on a therapist's couch. You know, if you did process, it would be part of the experience and it wouldn't be traumatic. So that's the way that I think about it. It's like, what if we could actually do it fun? You know, I think about it in terms of like a nightclub setting where you have lights going and you have a DJ and you have music going. What if you could take something like that and the music that's actually playing are healing frequencies and the lights that are actually are in tune with that and they're, you know, attuned for the healing as well. So you're having fun, but you're getting healed. So taking things like that and applying, you know, the healing modalities to them is kind of where I'm looking to go with the merging of entertainment and interactive technology.
That is really, really powerful. So if anyone would like to join us, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And the guest who is currently giving a wonderful presentation is Ms. Kamali Minter. So feel free to join us. And when we come back from this next commercial break, I'm going to bring on Ms. Karen Dukes again. So we're going to have both of our guests on to answer any questions that you may have. Stay tuned.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you for remaining connected. This is our final 24 minutes for the remainder of the show. Our guests this evening are Ms. Karen Dukes, the founder of Dukes Way Academy, located in Lithonia, Georgia, and Ms. Kamali Minter, who is a filmmaker, producer, director, and actor, and voiceover artist, as well as a yogini and Reiki master, who is based in Los Angeles, California. So if you would like to call us, please feel free to do so. I'm bringing Ms. Dukes back on the line. Hello, Karen.
Hi, you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I have you back on the line now.
Yeah.
So I want the listeners to call in if you would like to talk to either Karen or to Kamali. Feel free to call in. So I know, Karen, you've had a chance to listen to all the things that I was about to call her by her sister's name, that Kamali is doing, and you're being an educator, can see that we have some wonderful young people who are coming out of the educational institutions.
Yes.
Now, even though people say a lot of negative things on the on television about young people, you know, Kamali has two younger sisters who are awesome young ladies as well. So, and they're committed to empowering and giving and loving. Both of you are committed to those three concepts, and her younger siblings are committed as well.
Yes, absolutely. I was so impressed with her.
Thank you.
Yeah. How, in the wake of what happened, like I said today, in terms of Boston, I think it's really important for us to stay connected to these three concepts: empowering young people and everyone, regardless of age, giving back, paying it forward, and then also loving. Because, as I said, if we see ourselves as extensions of one another, then it's very hard to shoot and kill someone who reminds you of yourself. It's very hard to defame or denigrate someone who is an extension of you. So I think if we keep that in the forefront of our minds and brains as we're communicating with others, and also empowering ourselves first, like I said in the beginning of the show, empowering ourselves, giving to ourselves, and also loving ourselves. This first starts with ourselves, and then we can do the empowering and giving and loving others, because we've taken care of self first. So I am, like I said, I'm so impressed with both of you ladies and what you've done and how you continue to give. Kamali, I want to ask, how do you think we can help people in their 20s and their 30s, because a lot of them are very involved, but how do you think we can have them more committed to service without just, because people now, some people are doing it because it's fashionable. But how can we really impress upon them the need for people to really see others as an extension and to give from the heart, even if they're not getting paid for it or if there's no photo moment, for them to give because it's just a part of who they are, because we came on the planet doing that as babies. Babies will give you anything if you ask for it, and then we're socialized away from that. So what do you think that we as people who are the parents of younger people or role models, how can we have them become more connected? Because there are a lot who are, but for those who are not.
Yeah, I think that from what I've experienced, the desire to serve, you really have to have space for it. And a lot of people get really caught up in their own personal life drama, and it's taking up so much space that there's no space for anyone else. So, for young people in particular, I think we live in a culture where so much value is placed on having things, you know?
Right.
And so the focus and where the energy goes is in acquiring. It goes in, how do I make money? How do I shop? How do I get things?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to bring the value.
But
I think the more that that young people get to see the value of giving and the impact that they can have on someone else's life or on multiple people's life is really important. And there's no way to really do it except for to have the experiences. Because when you step into, you know, a community service experience or a volunteer experience, and you watch how something you did made someone else's day, put a smile on their face, gave them hope. It's only in that moment that you're receiving that, you know, that thing from them that you get the value. So really, I think just having youth exposed to opportunities to give, and to do it in a way where it's not, it should be connected to something they're already passionate about, you know, something that they can already relate to, because empathy is really important, that it doesn't come from this place of burden or obligation, but from a desire, because there's already kind of connection there, you know.
I love that. I think that's really powerful. It's true. That is so true. Karen, how would you respond to that? To that question.
Okay, I'm here. I had to change phones. What was the question?
Now I was asking, how can we engage young people to become more involved with community service? Basically, is the question, and coming from a heart-centered space as opposed to doing it, as Kamali said, from a sense of obligation. Because when people feel something is obligatory, they feel like it's a burden, and they don't really want to do it. You know, and I know during the 60s and 70s, a lot of us were community service oriented. So how can we engender that kind of compassion within some of the young people? A lot of them are doing it, but a lot are not. And these reality shows are really encouraging them to be more self-centered and to be narcissistic and to think about themselves only and not to connect. And that's why we're seeing the surge, I think, of people killing people, because they're not connected to to human beings, and they're really involved in a lot of technology. Technology is controlling them as opposed to they're controlling the technology.
Exactly. And that's, I'm very, very concerned about that, because you said it. I come from a world where maybe growing up with this missionary mom of mine and Girl Scouts, and so I was involved in a lot of community service, and then I didn't know anything differently. But then, so my children were raised in that, and that is an issue I'm having with why the children are not participating, why they are not belonging. And I guess it goes back to, you know, the parents, because I grew up with my parents keeping us involved. And so nowadays, see, your younger generation, the kids today, the parents are not involved, so, you know, the kids won't be involved.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
a very
then,
good point.
So that's just, and then it's sad as I ride around and I look at the daycares that have closed. We have an autism after school program in the area. It closed. How can those places close?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it's just a change in time. There's just a difference. But so that goes along with what Duke's Way wants to do. I want to also do a summer camp for at-risk children, or as a consultant working with some of the programs that I'm working with. I'm working with them in, you know, maybe as a support person, because this is the deal right here. The kids will leave school next month. And then they really don't have, you know, a lot of get up and go, and they have not participated in activities and things, so they don't really have anything to do. So
mm-hmm.
next month we're off from school for 2 months for summer camp. So now where do the children go? Well, a lot of them may go to summer camps. A lot of the parents say, hey, I can't afford summer camp. Now
mm-hmm.
the few that will go to summer camp, there are situations where they are overwhelming. It's a burden to the summer camp. The burden on the summer campers, whether the parents pay or not, they're just issues. And I'm studying that right now, where we need to do better, even if we're providing summer camp and after-school programs. I'm concerned if the adults or the professionals are really equipped to handle some of our at-risk children.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that because I look at the children that either they may not go to camp, so that means if they don't go to camp, they don't have anything to do. So they're just
mm-hmm.
at home. They're just walking around. They're just doing what they want to do. The parents may go to work, may not. There's no structure.
Right.
Now, you have a few parents that may get some assistance, and they'll send the kids to the summer camp, and they're just issues with maybe the kids being there. There are issues with behavior. There are issues with who's running these summer camps. Are they really providing the service that they need to deal with some of the behavior issues? And so what I want to see, something that we really can't deal with on a regular daily school basis, is I want to see more practical life skills, social skills. I want to see what Ms. Minter is talking about in public schools or in the after-school programs, because guess what? It will interest the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not have time to have to show out or be such an issue if they're doing what they want. You know, we're living in a time where kids are into reality TV. They want to
mm-hmm.
sing. They want to dance. They want to show out. So we can really do that on a structured basis. We may not have time during the regular school year. I want to see it in the summer camp. I want to see it in the after-school program. Exactly
mm-hmm.
what the second listener is talking about. I would love to work with her. I love to see the children having more experience and more hands-on with the filmmaking, learning how to be an actor, learning how to be an actress, learning how to perform. We need
mm-hmm.
to bring it in the school system. Because guess what? You know, they're taking a lot of that out of the school system.
That's
the music,
true.
The art.
I think
so what's going to happen?
I think that that's the reason why I have people on the show, and I have a caller who wants to join too. So, Kamali, share with
mm-hmm.
the listening audience your information about how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. You can visit me on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/space, SPACE, the number 4, love, LOVE. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/space4loveTV. So that's
space, S-P-A-C-E, space,
mm-hmm.
and the number 4, love,
mm-hmm.
L-O-V-E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TV, that's for YouTube. And so the YouTube channel, it's up, but it's not populated with videos yet. I'm in development right now. Or you can also tweet me at Kamali Minter, KamaliMinter. Or you can shoot me an email at spaceforlovetv@gmail.com. So space4lovetv@gmail.com.
Okay, let me bring in the caller. Greetings, Dr. Omri. How are you?
Very good. Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I know. You've been so patient waiting. So would you like to speak to both of our guests?
Sure, sure. I wanted to say hello to Miss Kamali.
Hi, Omri.
Hello, dear. I didn't even know you were going to be on the show.
Yeah, it's so good to hear you.
Wow. That's a blessing to hear how well you're doing. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, I met Miss, you know, Sister Kamali, and she is everything she's talking about. She lives that way. And she blessed me with this. I was out doing a, you know, 400 kids, like 2 hours away from Atlanta, and she blessed, came in with her camera, and, you know, we did some creative consciousness movements, and beautiful, you know, all for donation from her heart. Beautiful, beautiful young lady, and she's the next generation that we need, so I'm so happy for you, dear.
Thank you.
She is, yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to give
some of your great healing work on the show, actually.
Oh, good. Great, great. And to the other guests, I got to hear half of your show. Just beautiful what I hear you're doing. We need so much people like you out there. And, you know, these children do really need some. That's my love as well, is for the children. And don't stop. Don't stop.
Thank you.
Keep going, and you know, when we get pushed to our limit, that's making us stronger. So when we get put to that point that we're like, uh-oh, just know we only going to get stronger from that. And it's just a blessing to hear, you know, both of you ladies with that powerful conscience I hear in your spirit that we really need to, you know, these children are the new generation, and we're blessed to have you on this planet.
So very true.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, come out to. Are you coming out to the Empowerment next Saturday, April 27th?
Okay, I'm in Louisiana, but I might be down out that way. So, I would love to. I'd love to check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, and this.
Thank you.
It's at a cost that anyone can afford. It's free.
Yes.
Wow.
Free event.
It's free at the Hilton Garden Hotel, which is near the Stonecrest Mall, right off 20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was really, really close.
Oh, great. Great. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you again, and thank you, Sister Jamila, for the service you're doing. That's so needed. And I just want to thank you. Peace and love, and hopefully we all connect at the right time like God has for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank you
so much,
All right. Okay, peace and love. Goodbye.
Peace and love.
Bye.
So in the remaining 8 minutes, ladies, I would like to have you give your closing remarks and also definitely, definitely repeat how people can get in touch with you. You know, so we're just summarizing your overall thoughts about the theme, which is empowering, giving, and loving. Your closing remarks about that and your contact information.
Yes. Well, I'll go first. I'm, again, Karen Dukes with Dukesway Academy. Our event will take place next Saturday, April 27, 2013, at the Hilton Garden Inn Hotel in Latonia, Georgia. And, yes, as I heard earlier, and the listeners have heard, it's off of I-20 at the Turner Hill exit. Our event theme is Reclaim, Reinvent, and Rejuvenate Today's Educators. It was planned with everyone in mind. When we say educators, we're talking from parents to the community. That means everyone is invited. It is a free event. All I can really say is you will really be surprised. You are going to be enlightened. You're going to leave out saying, I have been reclaimed, reinvented, and I have been rejuvenated. We will have wonderful vendors that will get a chance to share a lot of their services and goods. Ms. Franklin will be one of our vendors. We're excited to be working with her as well. Let me tell you, our 10:30
speaker will be Dr. Lonnie Edwards Sr. He retired from DeKalb County School System. He's been a superintendent three times over from Georgia, New York to Mississippi. We are so proud of him. He has written a book, and he has a lot to share with us. He will be the morning speaker. And then coming in at 1:30 will be Dr. Harry Ross from Ross News. News reporter, and we're excited. He retired from Atlanta Public School System, and he is just full of a wealth of knowledge that we want to hear. Both gentlemen will help us to reclaim and reinvent ourselves. Okay?
Wonderful.
And our website, www.dukeswayacademy.com. And my number, you can call me anytime. You may reach me at 678-404-9034. And, again, I am Karen Dukes, and I thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
Okay. So for people who come, some people may wonder if they can bring children. Are children allowed?
Great question. Well, it's a long day. It's 9 to 5. Children did come along with their parents last year. At this time, this is our second event. I want you to know that we don't have, there may be certain things that may be geared towards the children, but, you know, the parents just kind of held on to them, and the ones that did come last year, they sat, they were so comfortable. Remember, this is a hotel. And I think some of the spouses, they may have taken turns in the fitness room, the swimming pool. They walked around. The mall was right there. Just so happened last year there was a carnival outside. So we are in the making for the next one to figure out what can we do for the children if they come, when they come, to be with their parents. Because we know it's a Saturday, and the teachers, the educators, everyone's been, you know, working all week, Monday through Friday. But we don't want to, having your children there to stop you. So if people need to bring the children, just bring the children, because I am planning for over 500 people to come through and sign in and say, hey, we love you. We wanted to see what was going on. I need to also tell you that Mr. Leon Carter is coming in that next Saturday morning around 10. He's an affirmation guru, and he will be teaching us, teaching the crowd, an affirmation that will help reclaim, reinvent, and rejuvenate us.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're excited about that. Now, Mr. Carter goes around from school to school on all levels. He works with children as well as adults or the educators in motivating them to be who they need to be.
Wonderful. Okay, Kamali?
Yeah, that sounds like a great event. If I was in Atlanta,
it does.
Yes, yes, I wanted to see you there.
So I'm in development with the content for Space for Love TV right now. I plan on launching in the fall, and the YouTube channel for that is youtube.com/ space, SPACE, the number 4, love, LOVE, TV, would be the YouTube channel where the videos will be present. And the content, it's going to be a variety of different things, from interviews to instructional videos to some experimental and narrative type stuff. And then you can also right now find me on Facebook, facebook.com/space4love. And I post inspiring stuff up there, quotes, blogs. I share anything that comes across my path that I think is helpful in, you know, this path of embodying love. And then you can also email me at space4love@gmail.com.
Okay. She's saying space, everyone, because it sounds like face, but she's saying SPACE, the number 4, and then love, LOVE.
Exactly. .com. Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
It was a pleasure having both of you on the show. Did you want to add anything else? Come on in.
No,
seconds.
Thank you so much. It's been great. And, you know, talking about it and talking with you guys about such an important theme.
Well, as I said before, the work that both of you do the different types of work, and your commitment are so valuable, and I commend you both. I applaud your efforts. I applaud your ability to empower others, to give to others, and to love people universally. And I am so very honored to have had you on the show. Sorry, everyone, until we meet next week. And next
yes.
week we will have Casey Sawyer, who is a prominent musician, who will talk about Christian rock. Have a wonderful week, and remain positive and blessed. Take care.
And thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Professor Franklin.
You're welcome.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today.